Let's then open our Bibles to that psalm, Psalm 8, and read it together. We read Psalm 8 in connection with Lord's Day 47 about what it means to pray the petition, "Hallowed be thy name." So we read together Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Let's also then turn to our confession. Lord's Day 47. You can find that beginning on page 894. Lord's Day 47. What does the first petition mean? "Hallowed be your name" means, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, what we say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Thus far, our confession. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the command of Scripture is that we, God's people, in fact, all people, hallow his name. The Catechism explains this. It's to honor and to praise and to glorify God. And elsewhere in the Catechism, we read that this is why God created man. God created man so that he might know God and praise and honor him. It's the same thing that's confessed right at the beginning of the Westminster Confession or the Catechism. It says that praising and honoring and glorifying God is the chief and highest end of man. The call and the command of God's word is clear. This is who we are. This is why we are on this earth. This is why God created mankind, so that we would in turn praise him. And so it's a great comfort then that the Catechism closely associates the Lord's Prayer with the command to hallow his name. Yes, the commandments stand and we must obey them, but they are followed by a petition. They are together in our life of thankfulness. We cannot begin to obey God's law as an expression of our thankfulness to him without the Lord's Prayer, without our petitions to him, without coming to him and saying, Lord, help me. You see that in our question and answer before us this afternoon. Lord, help me. Help us. Help us as church to obey the calling to honor your name, to obey the calling to live out my life in praise of you. Lord, help us. And as was mentioned last week, when we seek insight into prayer, how we can begin to better pray, also this first petition, we can turn to Scripture. The Psalms are prayers of God's people. They are inspired prayers, prayers of the Holy Spirit through God's people. And so as we learn to pray the first petition, we do so also in connection with Psalm 8. It's a psalm in which David exalts, he lifts up the excellencies of God's name, a psalm that seeks to praise God for who he is, a psalm that marvels at the works of God's hand. And so as we open God's word this afternoon, as we begin again to learn how we ought to pray, we do so with this theme. O Lord, our Lord, help us to hallow your name. And we'll see two things. Help us, Lord, to first know your name, and then secondly, help us, Lord, to reflect your name. So first, help us, Lord, to know your name. And it's helpful to begin by defining what it means to hallow, what it means when you say hallowed be. It's not language that we're super familiar with. It means, in the first place, to make something holy, or better yet, to treat it as holy. And the Catechism picks up on this where it says, I will honor, glorify, and praise you. We do not make God's name holy as if it were not already. But with the first petition, we are asking God to help us to know God's name for what it really is, to see the name of God for all that it entails, and that in seeing it, as a result of that seeing and that knowing, that we would rightly praise, honor, and glorify it. In other words, it's a petition that through our honoring and our praising, we would begin to acknowledge God for who he really is. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, he intentionally placed this as the first petition. That is to say, it ought to be our very first concern, the hallowing of God's name. We ought to pray first. First, Lord, let me honor your name. Help me to honor your name, to bring you praise, to bring you glory for who you are. And then I will come with my other petitions. Let your glory and the honoring of your name be first in my prayers. And we see this in Psalm 8 so clearly. David is doing this exact thing. At the beginning of his psalm, which is a psalm of praise to God, the very first expression, really it's an exclamation of praise to God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And just like the first petition, David is not adding something to God. He's not saying something new, but he's confessing a truth. He's coming with a confession of truth. God's name is excellent. David, in his psalm, he doesn't make it excellent. No, he's not hoping that it will become excellent, but he sees and he knows that it is excellent because it's God who makes his name excellent in all the earth. It's God who sets his glory above the heavens, as verse 1 says. And what is this name? Well, the name refers to the entirety of who God is. That's wrapped up so beautifully in the divine name. It's the name that God has given to us, his people. It's the name that God has revealed in his word. It's the very first word in this psalm, Yahweh. I am who I am. It's the name of the one who is to come and who was and who is to come. It's the one upon whose name we declare our dependence at the beginning of every worship service. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Yes, God has many titles. He has many names which speak to his different attributes, the different attributes of his character, each one describing something about God. But Yahweh is his name. Every other name comes under it and points to it. I am who I am. There is none like him. And it's God's covenant name. It's the name by which he declares his steadfast and abounding love, a love that does not and will not change. It's a name that's so full of glory that the song never ceases in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. And so when we are praying the first petition, we are asking, Father, help us to join in that chorus of praise. Help us to honor and praise and glorify your name. It is to pray, Father, your name is worthy. Help us to bring you the honor and the praise that your name deserves. And God's name is excellent, as David said. The excellencies of God's name, it shines forth in so many ways. The Catechism touches on this when it says, help us to know you, to honor, to glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. All God's attributes shine forth. The attributes listed there, his almighty power, his wisdom, his kindness, his justice, his mercy and truth, all God's attributes, they're shining forth like a brilliant light, so that everywhere we turn, we ought to be dazzled by the brilliance of God's name. To be overcome by the attributes of God as they shine forth when we consider his name. We only need to look around us at creation to see the attributes of God, to begin to see those attributes shining forth, to begin to see how he is so worthy of our praise. Just like David does in Psalm 8, he confesses that God's glory is in the heavens. He is humbled by the works of God's fingers, the moon and the stars which God has ordained. Think back to the solar eclipse. It so wonderfully and beautifully displayed the intricate and almighty power of God that he could so arrange the planets. We could be humbled as humans. Our society almost stopped because God lined up the planets in such a beautiful and wonderful way. God is almighty, and he displays it so beautifully. Or maybe you got to see the northern lights at the beginning of May. They just reveal a small piece of the awe-inspiring glory and the creative power. Just a small piece, and we stand in awe of who God is. But it doesn't have to be those grand events. The Belgic Confession, it captures it this way. Creation is a beautiful book in which all creatures, great and small, are as letters that make us ponder the invisible things of God, his power and his divinity. And at the head of that creation, God created us. God created mankind at the pinnacle of his creation. He created mankind in his image. And David reflects on this truth in Psalm 8 as well. Although he is humbled by the glory of God revealed in the heavens, he rightly confesses that man has been given a place of honor in creation. Verse 5, man was created a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Mankind is not just another animal on earth, but it's a special creation made for a particular purpose. He was to know and to praise and to honor God. God created man with an ability to know and to communicate with God. The Catechism, as we mentioned in the introduction, puts it this way: God created man good and in his image, so that he might truly know God, his creator, love him with all his heart, and live with him in eternal blessedness for his praise and glory. It's Lord's Day 3. As those who were created in God's image, our first concern, our top priority should always be the hallowing of God's name. But isn't it true that the very opposite is so often the case? All throughout human history, we see how mankind has failed to attribute to God the glory that is due his name. In their minds, they remove the creator of heaven and earth from his rightful place of honor, and they direct all their attention, all their adoration, all their honoring to idols, or to creation itself, or to mankind. In Romans 1, it speaks of this: since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God have clearly been seen, so that they are without excuse. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is what happens to a heart that refuses to direct all praise and glory to God. A heart that refuses to honor God's name as worthy, it becomes darkened. It no longer sees in creation the glory of God. It's no longer able to see the light of God's attributes shining forth, his wisdom, his kindness, his mercy, his justice and truth. All those are shining forth, and the darkened heart cannot see it. But what has God done for hearts such as this? What has God done for our hearts who so often fail to see the glory of God and even more often fail to honor and praise him because of it? Our hearts that fail to pray the first petition. God was not content to see his creation go to waste, not content to see his creation destroyed. He was not content to see his invisible attributes go unacknowledged. And so he sends us his Son. To use the language of the Catechism, the greatest work of God, the work that shines forth so clearly, God's almighty power, the work that proclaims his wisdom, that demonstrates his kindness, that fulfills his justice, that brings his mercy, that is truth. All those attributes were on full display in the life and the work of Christ. The cross, which is foolishness to the world, the hearts that are darkened, it radiates God's glorious attributes. If you want to see glory, if you want to see the glory in the attributes of God shining forth, fix your eyes on the cross. In fulfillment of Psalm 8, Christ came to this earth. He made himself a little lower than the angels. He gave up the glory of heaven, giving up the glory that was due his name. And he humbled himself, even to death, all for his Father's glory, so that through him and his work, hard-hearted and sinful image bearers would once again begin to bring praise and glory to God. And so the call of God's word is to examine our hearts. In light of what we know about God, in light of the glorious work of Christ, we must examine our hearts. We have to see whether the concerns of this world, whether our earthly desires and aspirations, the building of our own kingdoms, our own glory, and the elevation of our own name, whether those things are coming in the way of honoring and praising and glorifying God's name. It's easy not to consider God's hallowing at the beginning of our prayers. So often it's last in our list if we get to it at all. We come to God, we place our wish list before him, and then maybe at the end, if that, we'll consider his glory and the honor that is due his name. name. And when we find this in our hearts, we must pray the first petition. Father, hallowed be your name. That is, by the power of Christ, reorder my heart, capture my motivation so that I would place you, you, Lord, who are worthy in the place where you belong, the place of all honor and praise, the place of glory in my life and in my prayers. And so often it's the same in the church, isn't it? When we come to church, rather than seeing a worship service as an opportunity to come before God, come before our covenant God and glorify his name, we come in the first place seeking something for ourselves. Whether that be a spiritual high or because we need a particular kind of encouragement that week or I just enjoy the sense of community, rather pray the first petition. Hallowed be your name. Help me, Lord, to put aside my own desires, my own glory, and help me to glorify your name. Pray that you would be so overcome by the grace and the mercy and the love of God on full display in this worship service because of what Christ has done, that you cannot but help to wholeheartedly desire to bring praise and glory to God, to sing his praises, to see in his word all his attributes shining forth. Or maybe you just don't feel worthy. Maybe you resonated with the words of Psalm 8, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you think of him?" Who am I? Who am I, Lord? Who am I to praise you? Look at my life, the mess that it is. I know my sins. I know the weaknesses of my faith. I know my past, the things that I have done, the things that I haven't told anybody. How can I honor and glorify and praise the name of God? Well, the answer is to fix your eyes on Christ. Through Christ's work, you are a child of God. He takes away your sin, the sin that is weighing you down. He covers your weaknesses with his perfection. His honoring of his Father so perfectly has become yours. But more than that, you have a Father who delights to hear and to receive the praises of his children. Psalm 8, he ordains strength from the mouths of babes and infants. He also delights in your praise. God chooses to delight himself in our honoring, in our praising, in our glorifying of him. Not because we are worthy, not because our praise is so great in and of itself, but for the sake of what Christ has done. God loves to hear the praises of his people. He delights when his people honor his name. He delights when his people pray the first petition. And so pray. Pray, Father, help me to know you. Help me to see the glory and the holiness of your name. Help me to see in the work of your Son your love and your mercy shining forth. Help me to honor and glorify your name, not because of who I am, but because of what Christ has done on my behalf. Pray this petition day in and day out so that you would never lose focus, so that by God's grace your concern would always be, in the first place, the praise and the glory of the Lord. We come to our second point. In the first part of Lord's Day 47, we're praying that we would begin to see and know God and all the attributes that he reveals to us. But the second part is a prayer, as the Catechism points out. It's a prayer that God would then help us to live our lives following that order, in that direction, that we would reflect all those attributes of God in our lives. The Catechism puts it this way, help us to direct all our living, what we think and what we say and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. This is the life that God is calling his children to live. When we shape our prayers so that our first petition is the hallowing of God's name, then by grace our lives will begin to follow suit, to have in our lives the honor of God as our primary concern. We bring God honor and praise by directing our lives solely to his glory. Paul writes, in whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we understand what this means in terms of worshiping God. We know that we ought to praise and glorify God in our songs and in our prayers. But what does it actually look like to direct our whole lives to God's glory? Do we just have to constantly think about God, or are we constantly singing his praises? Those things are not bad, but it goes much deeper than that. To seek to honor and to glorify the name of God is to let that reality, that truth, be the motivation for all that we think, for all that we say, for all that we do. David understood this as man's task, to put God at the center. Psalm 8, verse 5 and following, you have there David speaking of mankind. Although he is humbled in verse 4, he says, you have made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Glory and honor belong to God, and yet God has bestowed them on mankind so that he can, in return, glorify him. But also dominion, verse 6 through 8. You can see there the creation language. God has given dominion to man. Even though God rules over everything, even though God has created everything, he gives dominion to man to rule over this earth, so that when we do, we can return and bring our praise and glory to God. And so it is with all God's attributes. What God has done, what God has already in full, God has in perfection, he has given in part to mankind, so that mankind is able to praise and glorify him. God is full of wisdom and truth, and yet he has given to mankind his word. He has made mankind with a mind capable of understanding his word, so that we are able to read it and to see in it the glorious attributes of God to praise him. God is fully just, and yet he has given that justice to mankind so that we have a sense of right and wrong. And we have a task to carry out justice on this earth. And when we do that, reflecting the attributes back to God, he is glorified. God is full of mercy. And he has called mankind to reflect that mercy in our care, in our love for others. And in that, God is glorified. And so we could go through the list of Lord's Day 47. God gives to us his attributes so that we can praise his name rightly, so that in our work we can begin to honor him, so that in all that we say, all that we do and think, God's name can be glorified. And yes, the image of God has been weakened by the fall into sin. Yes, we so often cloud God's attributes with our sin. But we do not read Psalm 8 as those who are left in sin. Rather, we are reading Psalm 8. We are praying the first petition as those who have been redeemed by Christ, as those who have received in themselves the clearest expression of God's attributes, his abounding and steadfast love. And so that image is being restored. Ephesians 4, you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Or 1 Peter, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are created, and now in Christ are being renewed to reflect God's glory. That is, to honor and praise and glorify him in all we do. And so pray the first petition. Pray that by praying, hallowed be your name, we are praying that God would use what he has created in us, that he would use how he has placed us in our particular situation, in our particular time and place, that he would use that for his own glory, that through your life, he would be praised and honored. You don't have to become a monk or a priest to glorify God. There's no special rituals in order to bring honor to God's name. There's no great amount of learning. You don't have to be at a certain income level or reach a certain level of piety before you can praise God. No, God calls us, each of us, to simply pray the first petition in our own situations, to pray the first petition with what God has given us, to pray, hallowed be your name. Father, help me to direct my whole life so that your name is always honored through me. To make it practical, think about when you need to pray the first petition. Consider where in your life you do not have the honoring of God's name front and center of utmost importance. For example, when you speak with your kids after a long, frustrating day, in that moment, pray the first petition. Father, in this moment, with these words that I'm about to speak, would your name be honored? Help me to put aside my own frustrations and to clothe myself in Christ's mercy and grace, and so speak gently and lovingly. Or another example, when you hear some gossip after church and you feel your thoughts being drawn to judging or to looking down on another, pray the first petition. Father, hallowed be your name. Wipe away these thoughts so that all my thoughts would only ever bring you glory and honor. Or when you get up early in the morning to do chores, or when you're on your way to the job site, Father, hallowed be your name. May this day and all I do in it, even the most mundane aspect of my day, may it be done in a way that glorifies you. May you be glorified as I seek to live out my calling as an image bearer who is being restored by your Son. Or maybe you're just confused about your life and you don't know where God is leading it or what his plan is. We still need to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Father, in whatever way you direct my life, would that direction be that you would be praised and glorified above all, above even my own comfort or above how I wish you were leading my life. Help me to place you and the honor of your name first. This is not an easy prayer to pray in many circumstances. And so even as we pray the first petition, we must be also praying for the Spirit, praying that the Spirit would make our hearts willing and ready to honor and to glorify God's name, to submit our own wills and our own glory under the glory of God. And this gives us, this truth, it gives us a beautiful perspective on life. For in the world, life is ultimately meaningless for many and empty. There are some small fleeting pleasures, but in the end, it amounts to nothing. But for the believer, for the one whose life is in Christ, for the one who prays the first petition, life is anything but meaningless. And so there we have an opportunity to reflect the attributes of God to those around us, to witness to them the joy it is to live a life directed solely to the praise and the glory of God's name. Speak about what it means to live your life to the glory of God's name and the meaning that it gives to your every moment. so that others would see it. Psalm 8 rightly confesses at the beginning and at the end, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. God's name ought to be glorified by all. And so when we live our lives to his glory, when we direct ourselves praying the first petition for the help of the Father to his glory and to his honor, we can begin to show that to others, to help God's name to go to the ends of the earth. Matthew 5, the very well-known words, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The first petition is also a prayer that God's name would be honored when others see you, when they see in you something of God's attributes. When you're out on the job site, when you're at home at work, would that they see something of God's attributes in you, living them out. His wisdom and his mercy and his truth should be on full display in your life. And note carefully, we must not seek the praises of others for ourselves or for our own names, as is so often our inclination. But praying the first petition, we must seek that all that praise and that glory and that honor goes to God. But the negative is true as well. Just as the world can see God's attributes and so glorify him because of us, when they see us living in sin in our personal lives, or if they see us striving for our own glory or for our own interests in our business, for example, or if they hear how we say and we confess one thing about the glory of God and yet live in a way that does not bring God any honor, they will see that. And the devil will use that to cause them to blaspheme God's name, to disregard the church and everything in it. Brothers and sisters, pray the first petition, so that God would never allow you to be the cause of his name being dishonored or blasphemed. We don't just pray this so that our church would have a good image, so that our reputation is not tarnished. No, we have a greater reason to pray this prayer. The reputation of our Father in this earth is at stake. And so as a child of God who desires nothing more than the glory of God's name and the hallowing of his name in the first place, we would never do anything to jeopardize the praise of God's name. And so the first petition is also a prayer that God's name would never be blasphemed because of us, that others would always have a reason to praise God and never a reason to dishonor him. And so when you're with your friends on a Friday night, or if you're in a particular stressful situation at work, or if you're faced with heavy pressure and criticism on a university campus, wherever it is that you are tempted to put your identity in Christ to a side, pray the first petition. Hallowed be your name. Help me in this situation to act in such a way that others would see the attributes of God and have no reason to blaspheme or to dishonor God's name. And as we do this, as we seek by the power of God to direct our whole lives to God's glory, as we pray the first petition, we have to continue to do so looking to Christ. Know that he has gone before you. He has perfectly honored. He has perfectly praised. With his life and his death, he has perfectly glorified the name of the Father. John 17 says this. Jesus is praying and he says, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." And so we pray the first petition in the name of Christ. He alone has made it possible for us sinners to bring praise and glory to God's name. His perfect honoring, his perfect glorying of his Father's name has been placed upon us. And so we in faith can pray in his name, pray in his strength. O Lord, our Lord, hallowed be your name. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, hallowed be your name. Lord, help us to truly know you, to honor and glorify and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, your wisdom, your kindness, your justice and mercy and truth. And help us, Lord, to direct all our living, what we think, what we say, what we do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who perfectly honored your name in our place. Amen.